Well, good morning and welcome to Local Matters. We are talking today about education matters, and we're remembering a very, very special guy in the field of education here in the Upper Cumberland region. Dr. Angelo Volpe, retired president of Tennessee Tech University, passed away this past month, and we're just going to talk about him today. And so with me today are three of his friends and faculty colleagues, and then I'll chime in a little bit. But Dr. Jeff Roberts is dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, former chairman of the History Department, and faculty athletic representative, so he's got a lot of different perspectives. And Brian O'Connor, Dr. Brian O'Connor, is a professor of mathematics, former president of the Faculty Senate, worked with Dr. Volpe in a lot of different ways and went to church with him. And we'll talk about that. And Dr. David Larimore is a faculty member at Tech, but at the time that Dr. Volpe served, Dave, you were vice president for administration and planning. And you were athletic director under Dr. Volpe. So you had a number of different perspectives. And so we'll all just sort of share our time. And I served as dean under Dr. Volpe, and I had him throw several things across the table at me during that time during budget times. So we're just going to have a little fun and remember Angelo Volpe. So I'll just start with each of you and say, what's your memory? What's your favorite thing? And then we'll talk about some specific things. But Dave, you want to start with any favorite memory?
There are a lot of good memories. I remember when I first met him, I was surprised that he was not a very formal kind of guy. He liked to downplay his status as president, and so he just wanted to be one of us, and that, I guess, was the thing that struck me most about his demeanor.
Yeah, he was just disarming with charm and friendliness, mm-hmm. It seemed like. Brian, how about you?
Well, when he passed away, the Tech website mentioned started out by saying that he always remembered your name. Whether he'd known you for years or minutes, he remembered your name, and I think I was one of the first people at Tech to realize that when he interviewed for the position in 1987, they published an interview schedule, and he was supposed to meet with the students one day and then the faculty the next day. And I thought to myself, I wasn't sure I would be able to make the faculty meeting, so I went to the student meeting and heard him speak. And I think I asked a question at the end saying I wasn't a student, but I wanted to ask this question. So he responded to me. As it turns out, I was able to go to the faculty meeting the next day. And at one point when I raised my hand, he called on me by name. And people were going, how did he know your name? And I said, well, I was at the meeting yesterday, and he remembered my name from the day before. So he always did that. And he knew people's names and remembered you and treated you as people. And one nice thing about my attending both of those meetings was that he gave the same answers to the students that he gave to the faculty on the same questions. It wasn't a case of, well, here's my audience, so I'm going to answer it this way. Here's another audience, I'll answer it that way. He was pretty straightforward, and that was something that we, I think, appreciated in all the dealings that we had with him.
Yeah, I think he was sort of a what you see is what you get kind of guy.
Exactly.
And he was very, very good at that. Jeff, how about you? What's your favorite memory?
Well, the fact that the man hired me. I mean, I owe Angelo a tremendous amount of thanks for that very reason. He also gave me a lot of opportunity. For example, he tasked me at one point with attempting to design essentially manual procedures for our Sports Hall of Fame committee, which had been a bit problematic before that, but I came up with a system that we've been using to this day and has given us one great class of inductees after another. Another case in point, he tasked me with trying to come up with a working system of faculty evaluation. And I think we're about to replace it after 25 years this year. Mm-hmm. But I will always thank Angelo for all the opportunities he provided.
Mm-hmm. And I think he did that with many of us. I was in that same boat. He hired me, and he also, along with Provost Marvin Barker, they both were sort of instrumental in that decision. Scared me to death anyway during the time. But yeah, I think he just he tried to toss out opportunities in front of you and hoped you rose to the occasion. And well, we all know his background, but he came from Brooklyn, and he was a first-generation college student. And I think he sort of related to many Tennessee Tech students because of that, didn't he?
I think so. A couple days before the funeral, somebody asked me, did Angelo and Jeanette have any sons and daughters? And I responded, they had thousands of sons and daughters. And everybody who was a student at Tech at that time knows exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's a good reflection. I think he, as we saw at the funeral and on many other occasions, if Angelo was in the room, students were going to come up to him and bring a remembrance with them of their time. Brian, you mentioned that he made you comfortable, and he sort of tried to recreate a spirit of the Tech family when he got there. And I thought he was just very skilled at making you feel like family. Jeff, what do you remember any of those?
Oh, absolutely. That whole idea of Tech family to me was something that he stressed in everything he did. Because when you feel like you're part of a team, you simply tend to be more productive. And, you know, if you go about things with a smile on your face and feeling good about what you do, it just spills over. And Angelo was like that, okay? Now, I heard he could get a little testy at times if there was a tough budget situation or something like that, but his initiative was to go for the positive, and I think that paid tremendous dividends.
You have various constituencies on campus between administrators and faculty and staff and students, and there might be times when one group would be pitted against another, but really not in his case. We were all part of a family working together for common goals, and that was, I think, very important.
Yeah, and Jeff, as you said, there were times when a member of the family might have to go to the woodshed with Dad and have a little talk on the way. So they, you know, he could get his temper up if he needed to, or at least appear to and make you think that things were a little tense. But he treated everybody, I think, as part of the family. And I think everyone from the custodial staff, the folks in the cafeteria, they knew him and knew him as a friend and as a family member. He was really talented at that, and he had a wife that helped with that. Jeanette Volpe did her part to create a sense of family too. Any memories of the early days with Jeanette from anybody? I just remember one. I'll sort of start that with the faculty women's club, as I think it was called then, and she just came in and sort of adopted, and everyone felt like she was one of them, just part of the team, went forward. But we've all had over 30 years of knowing Jeanette also, and knowing them in this community, and they've been a big part of it.
Well, one other thing, Brian, is when you look at the two of them and listen to how they talked, that you realized they're not from around here, but they fit in here so perfectly, even with that you realize that, you know, there are people everywhere that we can respect and have a good time with, and doesn't have to just be people we've sort of grown up next to. You can have people come in and do a good job and win the respect of everybody here. So that was an interesting aspect to that. Mm-hmm. And I think at one point some person in the upper levels of the state of Tennessee government saying, why are we hiring him? Well, we found out he was a good match.
Yeah, I think that's right. We found out he was the right guy for the job. And yeah, they broke down a number of stereotypes while they were here. Just everybody thought outsider, and this just isn't going to work. And it worked very, very well. So a great couple, and they certainly added a lot to the presidency, but it was fun to travel with him to Board of Regents meetings and places like that. And Dave, I know you did that too. And again, it wasn't just the Tech faculty and staff that loved Angelo. It was people would see him and the smiles would start in Nashville.
When we would go to OVC meetings representing Tennessee Tech, it would be the faculty athletics rep who was Thurston Banks at that time before Jeff, and all the other guys and gals were envious of Thurston and me because we had such a close relationship with the president. It was almost like the other ADs and faculty athletic reps. And presidents, it was like they didn't travel together, and they were at opposite ends, and they were always the other colleagues were envious of the Tech contingent because it was obvious that we had a really tight relationship.
And Angelo was a sports fan, and he attended all the sports. So, I mean, that really helped in that regard as well.
Yeah, he wasn't just playing a role. He really was a sports fan. And we'll talk about that. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about Angelo Volpe, the Yankees fan, and the baseball player, and all kinds of things like that. This is Local Matters. We are talking about Dr. Angelo Volpe, and we'll take a break and be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking today with four of us who are were colleagues of Dr. Angelo Volpe, the seventh president of Tennessee Technological University. And we're just sharing some remembrances of Angelo and Jeanette during his time in the presidency and then in his time as a former president, a president emeritus, where he was a citizen here in Cookeville and in the Upper Cumberland. And Brian, right before we took the break, you were talking about Angelo as a baseball fan and his love not just of Tech baseball, but going all the way back to his childhood, his love of the Yankees. So talk about the baseball fan, Angelo Volpe.
Oh, he was the biggest baseball fan and biggest Yankees fan. In fact, there was a group of people in town who would meet periodically, all Yankees fans. And I was just talking with one of them the other day, and he said, and he knew a lot, too. I mean, you could ask him any questions about the Yankees, and he knew that. So I remember one time years ago, I got to think, I said, Ange, you grew up in Brooklyn. How did you become a New York Yankees fan and not a Brooklyn Dodgers fan? And he said, well, Think who was on the Yankees at that time. Frankie Crosetti, Phil Rizzuto, Vic Rashi, Yogi Berra, Joe DiMaggio. With Italian names like that, who is a guy named Angelo Volpe supposed to root for? Well, and the fact that they won a lot didn't hurt
it
either.
It didn't hurt a bit. He would occasionally show up after a big win with a Yankees hat on or a shirt or some kind of celebratory.
I remember one time when the Yankees had won the World Series in 98 and 99, and ooh, they were in the playoffs the following year, and he told me, I want four in a row. And I said, I grew up in Chicago. I just want one in my lifetime.
Yeah, the Cubs and the White Sox weren't the Yankees, were they? Well, he took that love for baseball down to the Tech baseball team, too. We all would see him at baseball. And Dave, you were athletic director at the time. I know you probably saw him more than any of us at the baseball games, but he just loved baseball wherever he found it, didn't he?
He did. But it wasn't unique to baseball, although baseball was special to him. He was at all the athletic events. I can remember going down to the floor after the basketball games, and we would always try to get down a few minutes early and so that we could greet the players whether they won or lost after the game. And I remember being down there one day, and we were standing there waiting for the game to end, and he looked at me and said, you know, if I had only 5 minutes to live, I would like for it to be the last 5 minutes of a basketball game. Because the coaches know how to extend the game at that point to make it last as long as possible so that they have a chance to win. And so,
yeah, between the fouls and the timeouts and everything, yep. It can be an
eternity.
And they
save it all for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, he certainly did enjoy Tech sports. And the two of you together, along with, and we'll talk about Marsha's role in this too, but you guys sort of revolutionized Tech athletics. Something came along called gender equity during that period, and it didn't just comply with it. You made Tech a national leader in that. So talk a little bit about how gender equity came to play at Tech.
Well, it helped that we had been extremely successful in women's basketball and had a scholarshiped women's basketball team before other schools had any women's sports presence. And so that helped. But Angelo, and with Marsha Boris, who was the associate athletics director, and myself, early on when Title IX was being discussed and debated as to whether it was the right thing to do and so forth, we, with Angelo's leadership, made a decision that we would comply as rapidly as we could with equity for women. One other, you know, to put it all out, one other advantage we had was that our student body was 52, our undergraduate student body was 52% male. And so the target was a little more readily achievable. And so we decided that rather than write every year extensively about our efforts to comply, that we would just develop a plan to aggressively comply. And then we would not have to talk about it anymore. And then, Angelo was, he was the front edge of that because the president is always the front edge.
And you mentioned 52%. The rule is that your athletics participation rates overall have to reflect the same percent of male and female in your student body.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to be that way in every sport. You don't have to have 50% women on your football team, but you do have to have 50% in Tennessee Tech's case, 52 and 48%, roughly, on all the teams put together.
Right.
Yeah.
And to that effect, Dr. Volpe started women's soccer at Tennessee Tech, and he also brought women's track and field back after about a 12-year hiatus.
Right.
And those two moves with full scholarships to go along there is what gave us, again, really Title IX achievements that are beyond the other schools in the OVC.
Well, and not just the OVC. After I became president, we got a call one day, and it was Mark Wilson as athletic director at the time, and I, and they asked us to come to New York to receive an award from the National Women's Sports Federation, and that award was for being the Southeastern leader in gender equity. There were four schools picked across the nation, and University of Washington was the Western school. I remember that. But we were the Southeastern school. And the really cool thing, and I tried to get Angelo to go with us to that meeting, and he had a conflict, and I think we tried to get you to fly up with us. But Mark and I ended up going to New York, and I got to have lunch with one of my childhood heroes because I was a tennis player in college. I lettered in tennis, but I loved tennis, and Billie Jean King was the best tennis player around when I was a kid. And she was president of the Women's Sports Federation, and so I got to have lunch with one of my heroes because of Dave Larimore and Angelo Volpe and Marsha Royals.
Boris.
I'm sorry, Marsha. And, again, we're just honored that Tennessee Tech got such a great reputation and maintains it to this day. We still have very strong gender equity in our athletic programs.
Angelo was very proud of those achievements. And along with, you know, playing by the rules and making sure our student athletes graduated, he took a lot of pride in meeting those Title IX goals.
Yes, he did. He did. And we owe a lot to that leadership. We are going to take another quick break, and we will come back and join our third segment in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking Education Matters today, and we are talking about our friend, Dr. Angelo Volpe, the seventh president of Tennessee Technological University. We are just remembering him today with a number of stories. And I will start with one. Angelo inherited a time in the state of Tennessee when there were some pretty tough budgets going through the state. It was just some tough economic times. And I know when I became president, he came in one of the first days and said, "Bobby," and he always called me Bobby for some reason. And anyway, he said, "Bobby, I wish I'd have left you with better budgets." And looking back on it, he left me with a pretty good budget compared to the ones we had sometimes in the next few years. But we had something in those days, and it called budget hearings in the president's office, and the administrators would gather, and a particular dean would be up for roasting on a given afternoon or a given day, and would come up to present his dreams or her dreams of a good budget. And occasionally those meetings got testy. They were fights over very limited resources, and often they weren't fights. Often Angelo would find a way to get it done. But there would be other times when there was no money, and it just wasn't going to happen. And I remember a dean who will remain unnamed, who just kept fighting. He would not let go of the president. "I got to have this money. We've got to do this project." And Angelo used a very select set of words with that dean, and then sort of slammed his hand on the table and said, "I got to have a cigarette," and walked out of the room. And that was one of the signals that it was time to duck. When the president said, "I need a cigarette," I learned early that meant don't push this any further. He's taking a break for a reason, and we'll have a different subject when we come back together. So it was a tough time, and yet here was the guy who wanted to be the friendliest guy on the campus and who wanted to be your friend, and yet had to tell you no, and or maybe didn't have to, but still did, just because he didn't like the idea you had on your mind that day. But I always thought he was as fair as he could be on those things. But that doesn't mean there wasn't tension in some of those meetings. Dave, you sat in on many hearings, so you saw some of that tension too, I'm sure.
Yes, the approach was basically, if we can develop a plan to get through this year, and things will get better next year, and so then we can make it. And so for his, other than the first year he was president, I think it was maybe the first or maybe into the second. After that, it was always lower budgets until the end of his presidency. And so it was always, if we can plan to get through this year using one-time money, and then when things are better next year, we'll be okay. And it never got better during his entire tenure.
But I think one thing he was proudest of was the fact that during all these tough budget times, he never had to let anybody go because of the budgets. They had to do some creative things and work around it, but he was proudest of the fact that they never had to terminate anybody because of the budget crunch. And his thought was, these aren't positions, these are people with names and part of the family. And so I think amid all that, he was proudest of that.
Yeah, he protected the family, and that was just central core to his style. Mm-hmm. Well, he had a long career as a president. Across the United States, 13 years as a president is a long time. Most presidents don't enjoy that kind of tenure, and he had a very remarkable time and served as an officer and a chair, I know, in the ASCU, the American Association of State Colleges and Universities. He was a deeply respected member of that president's council, and Dino Curris, the president of ASCU, and Angelo were very, very close friends. So he had a lot going on during the presidency that took Tennessee Tech beyond the borders of Cookeville and made friends and family in a lot of different places. But when he retired, one of the buildings on the campus that he had fought so hard to build and raised, he went out to raise a lot of money to help build that library, became the Angelo and Jeanette Volpe Library. And you can still see that building on campus today, but I imagine all four of us were there at the dedication ceremony when that building was named for Angelo and Jeanette. And it's just a fitting tribute. And it was fitting that visitation was held in that library here just a few weeks ago. Any memories from that visitation? You all were there. My memory is there just were a lot of people there wanting to see other friends and to remember Angelo, and they just stood around in small circles and talked about Angelo.
It was good to see Jeanette again, because with the pandemic, really, we really hadn't seen them since that happened. So it was good to see her again.
And it was, we hope we will continue to see Jeanette now that she can get out maybe a bit more. Speaking of getting out, Jeff, you were president of the Cookeville Rotary Club. Angelo was a very proud member of Rotary for many years, wasn't he?
Absolutely. He was a member, I think, for 35 years altogether. A lot of people at that visitation were friends of his from Rotary. And in Rotary, Angelo was someone who would do whatever job was necessary. He was happy to serve bacon or eggs or whatever at the pancake breakfast, help with making the batter. You know, he was, no job was beneath him. He was glad to pitch in whenever and wherever, and again, do it with a smile on his face. I know he enjoyed Rotary. He very often sat with Jim Lacey, who, of course, is our former president of Rotary International. And the two of them always seemed to have the best banter going, and you know, particularly if the Yankees were in the news, and even more so. But I know Angelo enjoyed Rotary a great deal.
He did. He also sat with Wallace Prescott while Wallace was living. And the three of them together always had some kind of animated conversation going on.
Did he slip a little oregano into the pancake batter?
Probably did. Now, Brian, you're a musician, and you saw Angelo also in the Brian Symphony Orchestra. He was on that board, but he was an usher. He was just an active participant in the symphony.
Oh yes, he loved classical music. He loved Italian opera. And whenever there was a concert that had something that he and Jeanette would sponsor the concert. So it was always good to have somebody actively involved in the cultural life of this community for so many years and doing a variety of important tasks. So it was really good to have that.
Now, speaking of cultural life, you just said something that stimulated a thought. Angelo liked to play poker too, didn't he? Anybody got a poker story?
Yeah, but I'm not so sure I should tell them.
They're good ones, huh?
Absolutely. Let's just say he could bluff on occasion. He absolutely could bluff on occasion. And good for him.
Yeah, and I think he used that bluffing skill in some of his work at Tech at times. Also. Well, Angelo, as we said earlier, was not only just known at Tech. If you looked at the Tennessee Board of Regents and the Tennessee Higher Education Commission, he was not just a participant in those meetings. He was a valued leader in those meetings. Even after he retired, he formed a group called the Group of Elders, that were retired university presidents and chancellors of the system who were just there to provide perspective if anybody wanted to. And other than that, they were there to enjoy each other. Mm-hmm. And I know there were times when I would go to them, and Angelo and Roy Nix were probably the two I dealt the most with, but I would go to them before the meeting ever started and just sort of do a what if. How do you think this is going to fly or whatever? But I know also the executive director of the higher ed system, Rich Rota, you would see him look to that group and go over and huddle with them during the meeting. So Angelo led that group, and so he was part of a brain trust for the state for many years after he retired. Well, we are all going to miss our president, Angelo Volpe, and we just wanted to spend today thanking him for the time he was here. And I want to thank each of you for joining us on the show.